The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
If we compare meditation with sailing, then in sailing, one of the things a good sailor learns to do is to work with whatever the wind and wave conditions might be. And so depending on the direction you're going, the wind, its strength of the wind, you make all these adjustments in order to keep the sails full just the right way. And you let out the sail, you pull the sail in, you lower the sail if the wind is too strong, and you kind of, you can't go, sometimes if you can't go directly against the wind, if you're sailing, if you want to go someplace, you have to kind of take it at an angle and tack back and forth. But you're kind of working with the forces of nature. You know, in a sense, you don't complain, perhaps, you know, if suddenly a bigger wind comes along, you just lower part of your sail or make adjustments accordingly and then work with that. And some days the wind is, the conditions are really placid or pleasant, and some days they're rough, and a good sailor just kind of works with it. So in the same way with if you're meditating, you're working with the force of nature, or forces of nature, which is all in you, right? And that's kind of, sometimes it's good to think of what's, all the stuff inside of you is just the forces of nature, so you don't take it too personally. And your job is to sail. So sometimes you learn how to handle it differently. You know, you kind of work with what's there rather than work against it. And so you lower your sail, you lift your sail, you let out your sail, you pull it in your sail, and you do all these different things. Or if you want to go someplace, and sometimes it's wisest to think, well, the direct approach is not going to work today. And so you have to kind of go at an angle, tack back and forth and get closer and kind of something. So what I'm trying to say is, part of meditation, wise meditation, is learning to work with the causes and conditions. And so rather than feeling that anything that happens when you meditate or anything you bring to your meditation is the wrong thing or shouldn't be happening, a wise meditator just takes it all in, the conditions, those are the causes, those are the conditions of the time, and then has a variety of skills, a variety of different approaches or ways of being to handle all that. So in that sense, meditation also, hopefully mindfulness meditation, is very, in a sense, very allowing or very forgiving or very inclusive. It's not in conflict with anything. It's learning how to work with everything. It doesn't work very well for the sailor to be in conflict with the wind. You know, you can't punch the wind and expect to get any, you know, anything to happen, right? So so you're working with, you know, with working with it all. It doesn't mean that you're not cautious with the wind. If it's a dangerous wind, you take care of that. You maybe go back to harbor if it's dangerous. But you want to work with all these things. So one of the first stances, one of the first aspects of sitting down to meditate is a feeling of some attitude, an approach of being inclusive, including it all, allowing it all to be there, not being in conflict with anything. And for some people, that's a huge learning, is to learn how not to be in conflict with what goes on when you sit down to meditate, not be in conflict with the distracting mind, the strong emotions that can come up, the memories, the body sensations and feelings, the, you know, energy, what's going on, not to be in conflict with it. But then, okay, given that's what's happening, this is what the weather is offering today, then how do I work with that? How do I include that? So one of the reasons is to start the afternoon this way is that, most people who sail do it because they love it. They enjoy it. It's kind of fun to be out there with the elements and working with it all. And my hope is that sooner or later, people who engage in mindfulness meditation, sooner or later get enough sense of the terrain, get enough sense of what's happening, enough skills of mindfulness, what it's about, that they also start enjoying the effort, the engagement, the effort to try to meet their experience. And it might take a while to learn that because we're often a slave to what is happening. So if something's unpleasant or difficult, then we feel difficult, we feel unpleasant. And it shapes, you know, how we are. But if you have a sense and the confidence and the courage and the sense that, oh, I can engage this difficulty, then you are not the difficulty. And then you can kind of feel kind of a sense of delight or encouragement or satisfaction. Oh, I can do this. I can engage. I have something to do here. And that delight of engagement is, I'm hoping that something eventually that people who meditate will cultivate and develop. And then as we engage more fully, and then there's this process of being absorbed, being so engaged in what's happening that you're not thinking about it so much, you're not pushing it away or holding on, but you're so kind of here, and you've arrived, you're present for this experience, and that there's something engaging in that presence, that involvement. And we call that in meditation being absorbed. And it's not a strange idea, I think, to a lot of people, because you can be absorbed in a lot of different things. You can be absorbed in a good book. You can be absorbed in a craft, in music. You can be absorbed in a good movie. You can be absorbed in your neurosis. And maybe that's not so pleasant, but you can be absorbed. And so the idea is to get so involved in the here and now experience that you're not so interested in other things. This becomes so interesting, you're so engaged here. And what happened yesterday or what's going to happen tomorrow pales towards just the vividness or the fullness of what's happening here and now. And so that process of being absorbed here to really having arrived, you really feel like, oh, I'm here finally. We talk about feeling arrived. And it takes a long time in meditation to really feel like you've arrived in the present moment. Arrived means you don't feel like you're wandering off this way and that way anymore, but you're here and you're not so easily going to slip away from here. You've arrived. And then you're absorbed in this experience here. And with that can come a feeling of delight again. That in itself can be feel delightful or joyful. The fact that you're here and arrived, the mind is not taking you this way and that. And it's so satisfying to finally be not at the whims of the distraction forces of the mind. And then to be absorbed then in this here tends to produce a lot of joy, bring a kind of condition for delight or contentment, satisfaction, happiness, well-being. And I like to say that this kind of well-being that comes from meditation, being absorbed, it has a condition. It's being absorbed, being connected, being fully present for something. But it's not contingent upon what it is you're absorbed in. So mostly people think that in order to be happy or feel joy, something in the world has, some condition in the world has to be the cause for that. You go to a nice movie and the movie makes you feel happy and you laugh or something. It's the movie is the cause for your happiness. Or you go to spend time with a friend and the friend is so engaging that you kind of forget about your difficulties and you know, you're happy for that time. And the friend was kind of the cause. Or you win the California lottery. And that makes you very, very happy for a few days. And so that's the condition for it. So with the meditation, you can realize that this sense of happiness can arise that's partly conditioned by the meditation, but it doesn't have a cause. It's not triggered by some external thing. And that's a very valuable sense of well-being to cultivate and develop, because then you have something that is not dependent on the things in the world going the way you want them to go. And you start discovering some kind of inner peace and well-being. So in talking about these stages of breath meditation, we kind of review a little bit from what we did last time. The fifth stage is experiencing joy. So the first four stages have to do with getting into the breath and beginning to relax the body a lot. So the body's not tense, more relaxed. Be really first you want to be present. And then once you're present, you want also, if you feel any tension in your body, you want to kind of relax it, calm the body, the way the body's held tense. As you get more present and relaxed, that tends to bring a sense of well-being, a sense of joy, delight. And that joy is a good thing to experience. And so the instructions are, when you experience that joy, when that joy happens, experience it. Take it in. And there's an art to taking in the meditative joy so that it actually enhances or deepens the meditation practice and lets the joy actually spread and become more full. That joy, when we get really concentrated, deeply concentrated and absorbed, is sometimes called rapture because it becomes so intense. Piti is the word in Pali. Then at some point, then the next stage here is then one experiences sukha, happiness or pleasure. And here the idea being that at some point after you've experienced enough rapture or joy, the mind either naturally or because you move away from, you move away from the joy, and you settle into something that's more sublime, more satisfying, which is happiness or this kind of deep, sublime kind of physical pleasure, which is not sensual pleasure. It's a whole different spiritual pleasure in a sense, inner pleasure that's somehow physical. So the process of deep absorption goes through these stages of joy, which is kind of energetic, to happiness or this deep sublime pleasure, which is much more satisfying than the joy. The joy and the pleasure are considered to be feeling tones. Probably the word is vedana. So the feeling of that is pleasant, both of them. And so the mind is somehow engaged and filled with a sense of pleasure. In order to go further in the deep absorption, then you need to be able to settle, relax the mental formations, the mental activity that's involved in taking pleasure from it, or interpreting it as pleasure, or registering it as pleasure or happiness, the feeling tone. And so there's a calming of the mental formations. So it's called mental formations, which is the mental activities that is somehow associated with producing all this joy and happiness. And then there's a falling away of pleasure and pain, this happiness and also discomfort. And then a person drops into a deeper state of peace, which is much more satisfying than the happiness, which was more satisfying than the joy. So that's a lot, if you haven't ever heard these ideas before. But this is the kind of the process. This is one way of interpreting these next four stages. The first one says experiencing joy, when experiences joy, having joy when experiencing one knows when it has joy, having happiness when knows when it has happiness. And then the next seven is, after that, getting to know the mental conditioning. What's going on in the mind? What's the flavor, texture, what's the impact on the mental activity to have all this joy and happiness? And then allow that in the eighth stage to calm that down. So that's one classic way of describing this. But you don't have to follow the classic pattern. And this, what you did this morning was another kind of approach to it. I don't think I wasn't encouraging you to feel a lot of joy and happiness. I was just had you directly go experience those two aspects of the mental formations, the mental activity, which may be very important for meditators to address, which is thinking and preferences, likes and dislikes. And then having identified it and experienced it, then learning to relax it, to settle it. So in 1 to 4, you're relaxing the body. In 5 to 8, you're relaxing the mental activity. And the two aren't so separate, but they're seen as distinct here. Does that make sense? So, a little bit, my hope in giving that little introduction was to make you feel happy. That somehow that this whole, it's so good to have a practice. It's so good to be engaged and be sailing along with all your struggles. And it's so good to have a practice. And if you can really get into the practice, just that, there's a kind of absorption in being involved that itself produces a sense of well-being or rightness or satisfaction or contentment. Here I am. And this is a beautiful, important part of meditation practice. And from that as a foundation, then we go further. And from that foundation, then we go further and begin relaxing the mind. And I love this, that the relaxing of the mind is built on first feeling happy. So you're feeling good. You're not asked to relax the mind when you're still anxious. But so a little bit, I hope this made you a little happy. And because it'd be nice if you could be happy for the next meditation.